Good evening and welcome to another edition of Bashani Magazine. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., aka The Motivator, and like always, it's my humble pleasure to allow you into my heart and my home, and in your hearts and in your home. I'm sorry about that. I've been on this microphone all morning. We have another powerful episode here with a powerful entrepreneur. Her name is Linda Monroe. If you don't know, you will know. Linda, can you tell my audience a little bit about you, please?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Prophetess Linda Monroe. I live in Cary, North Carolina. I am currently a business owner with LifeVantage. I work for American Airlines as a sales representative. I have 6 children, married, just working in the blessings of the Lord. I do prison ministry. I've been doing that for about 40 years. I go into prison and help inmates transition back into society. That is one of the goals that God placed me here. I am a radio host of the Linda Monroe Show on Bashani Radio.
Nice, nice. I'm so glad. So we about to dive in depth here, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. You can learn more about me at BennyRandall.com or my private community at BennyOnDemand.com. All right. Linda, we was having a conversation off the microphone before, and you said something that struck with me, and I want to bring that to the audience.
Okay.
You said you was not supposed to live. Tell my audience, what does that mean to you? That is a very powerful statement.
Okay, I was born with a congenital heart murmur, and what that means is that I had several holes in my heart. The blood was going back into the lungs instead of pumping out forward into my body. The doctors informed my parents that I would not live past 10 and that I definitely would not have any children. If I tried to have any children, that would kill me. So my parents rode me up and down the road to Duke University. That's one of the most prestigious heart hospitals in the world. So the first 10 years of my life, they went back and forth to Duke trying to see how they can keep me alive, basically. But my parents, being godly people, would not allow them to operate on me. I just had several catheterizations to try to correct the situation, but not really operate on correcting the situation. So here I am, 65 years old. Doctors are stunned because they cannot believe I am still alive.
Wow. You know, the devil is a liar. That's all I got to say. The devil is a liar.
Oh, yes, he is.
You know
God
what I mean?
Got to work for me.
You wasn't supposed to have kids, and you have 6 kids. That's the glory be to God.
Yes.
You wasn't even supposed to live past 10. You're 65. Ooh, somebody better preach in here. Somebody better
all
preach
right
in
now.
Here. Better ask somebody. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this story, never, ever let somebody tell you what your journey is. Because one yes from God will beat a million no's from the world. And Linda Monroe has shown us that. So tell us how you were able to prove them wrong. I mean, this is from birth, and you weren't supposed to live past 10. You're now 60 beautiful years young. How was you able to beat the odds?
Our faith in God. I remember as a child, we didn't have television back then, but we did have a radio. And my parents would listen to Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, and they would call us in. I have one sister and 2 brothers, and every night that radio broadcast came on, we would all gather in my parents' bedroom, and we would sit and listen to that radio broadcast with either Oral Roberts or Billy Graham, and when they call that altar prayer, we would place our hands on the radio and pray. Like I remember one night, you know, in the Bible, if you read the Bible, where they had stated that Jesus cried blood. Well, one night I started crying blood, and I tell you, it just freaked everybody out. I was so packed, my nose, blood was coming out my mouth. And then when I started crying the blood, it just freaked everybody out. So they rushed me to the hospital, and they sent me to Duke, and it was truly amazing that we saw that blood. And we remember that scripture that Jesus bled blood out of his eyes. And it's been a tremendous journey just trusting God. And, you know, the Bible tell you the man will deceive you. So you can't believe what they say. What's kept me alive all these years.
Very, very powerful. So let me ask you this, Linda. So how do you relate that to what entrepreneurs go through today? Because a lot of people tell you what you can't do and what you can do, and here you are beating the odds. And so how can people apply that to their lives in, you know, not wanting to take that first step to start that business that they've been dreaming of because of everybody else said it's not going to work?
Well, you just have to trust God and believe in his word. He said if you ask, he'll give it to you. So you just have to step out on faith. And you have to stay around like-minded, positive people. That's going to make you the success that you will become.
Oh, my goodness. So powerful. So let's talk about that. Let's elaborate a little bit more. How much of an effect do negative people have on people's lives and things, what they want to do? Because, you know, like I wrote in my book, I said, if you hang with 9 broke people, you're going to be the 10th. And everybody thought I was just talking about money, but no, I was talking about the energy of other people, how, you know, you can put that one bad apple inside of a apple bag and all the apples eventually will be rotten simply because of that one. Let's talk about the negative energy of negative people surrounding good and positive people like yourself.
Okay, it will drain the spirit completely out of you. It is mind-boggling what negative people can do. And I mean those haters that's around you that try to make like they're your friends, but you can just feel the negativism when you talk about what you're getting ready to do and how God has blessed you. So anybody listening to this broadcast this morning, you have to cut them off. Cut them off. That's the only way you're going to step out on faith, is cut them off, because they will undermine everything that you say that you're getting ready to do.
That's so powerful, Linda, because you know what I find out a lot of times, because some of the negative people could be right in your family, so a lot of people won't let them go. They'll be like, okay, I'll just have to deal with it. But you made a great comment, and that's you have to cut them off, because if you don't cut them off, that cancer of negativity will eventually poison you and go into you and your thoughts and your mind and your mindset. Can you give an example without mentioning any names of somebody that was in your circle that was very negative and you had to cut them off? And how was they, what got you to the point where you was like, I can no longer deal with this person? Now, don't say no names, all right, but just make up a name, brother, okay? I don't want you blowing nobody up in front of our 2 million people.
Okay. Well, it was this one particular individual. My first marriage was an abusive relationship, and so sometimes you just be pulled towards people that, you know, in a like situation. So she was in an abusive relationship. At this point, when they came into my life, you know, I was born again, and I was ready to conquer the world. So, you know, I tried to help her and guide her and show her, you know, it's a better life. You know, and you are a queen, And you need to be treated as a queen and just not settle for any treatment just to have a man, okay? And so, you know, I worked with her. She moved to where, in an area where I was living, you know, and she was just wishy-washy. But then over the years, I noticed that any time that I will say anything positive about my life and what I was doing, she would go into a depression. And I was like, this is enough. This is enough. You don't want to go anywhere. You're trying to keep me from going somewhere. So you just got to go. And when I cut her off, God just opened the door. And I'm telling you, I spent lots of years with this individual, and nothing positive went with my life. So God just told me, look, she got to go. And me, you know, I'm a very empathetic person. I'm real compassionate with people hurting. So I went back. I did cut her off. Then I went back to her again, and it was the same situation. So when you realize that people are not going to change and they're not going to be happy for your success, that's when you come to the point and realize, I've had enough. They got to go. They don't want anything in life and don't want you to have anything in life.
Mm,
that's powerful. How I dealt with that situation.
So let me ask you, what made you actually give her a second chance? Like, you already know who she was, and, you know, I live by the motto, and that is, when people show you who they are, you believe them. What made you go back and give her a second chance just to find out what you already know? You already knew, sir.
Because she had children, and, you know, I felt sorry for them. And, you know, I'm like, come on, you got to get it together. You got to get these kids to be positive adults. You got to prepare them for this evil, cold world. And she was the kind of person that, you know, she would only come to me when she was down. And when she was up and happy and had her little man, she didn't want to have anything to do with me.
Hold up, Linda. Now, you know she was showing you who she was, and you still wasn't believing her, huh? She's just showing you right in your face who she was, and you just not believing her.
I know. But my heart just, you know, it just went out because of those kids. It was really Linda, the kids.
Oh, okay. Because I was about to say, was it your heart or was it your emotions?
No, it was really the kids. I really felt sorry for them.
I can understand that. You want to save the kids from what you already
right.
know who she was. But, you know, it's hard to save the kids when the poison is the head.
Well, that's true. And that's what I had to learn.
Mm, very, very powerful. So let us move on. They told you, Linda, you would not have any kids. You turned back around and had 6 kids. You know how to slap people in the face, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, my faith, like I told you, Benny, I started reading the Word at the age of 6. Because of this situation, I lived a very lonely, isolated life. So the Bible was the only book we had in the house, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's what I picked up and started reading. And I did kind of doubt God sometime along my life journey, because I'm like, I'm reading about this loving God, but I'm out in this world with all these cruel people. So how could a loving God let these people be so evil and mean? Mm. And so I went off on a different direction. But let me tell you, he will bring you back eventually.
Mm, you would appreciate
He's gonna
that.
Make you realize who he is and what he can do.
Hallelujah, as Tyler Perry would say, hallelujah. It
yes.
is. I love it. I love you.
I tell you, Benny, that's the most miserable life. That's the most miserable life without God. And I just can't believe once you accept him and get that baptism of the Holy Ghost, how can you turn your back on him? But also what I've learned is that just did a broadcast this week, Born Again, Are You Born Again? And what I've realized is that a lot of people say they're Christians, and they just got the water baptism. Mm. But as the Bible tell you in John 3, you got to have both of them. That fire has to cleanse your body, and you become a new creature. And that's the only way you're getting to heaven.
So basically you're saying the water is just a symbolism. It's what changes right on inside that really, really matters.
Exactly. You have to have that fire to cleanse you. Because without the fire, you're just going to say you're a Christian and keep doing the same thing you're doing as a sinner.
So what do you have, all girls, all boys, or three boys and three girls? What do you have?
I have 2 girls and 4 boys.
Oh, my goodness. You have like a basketball team with a starter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, somebody can sit out and replace the other one. You go on, girl. Wow, 2 girls and 4 boys. That's amazing. That's simply amazing. So, you know what I think is interesting about this story, just listening to you right now, is that you have incredible faith. That's what you have. That's what's coming to me the most. You have incredible faith. How can people that may be going through something similar and feeling lost, how can they attain incredible faith? In fact, give me 2 ways people can start increasing their faith that they can start in the next 24 hours, Linda.
Okay, number one, you need to ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Once he fills you with the Holy Ghost, you have to ask him to reveal the purpose that he put you on this earth to do and go for it.
Linda, you make it seem so easy. For those that may not be familiar, like, what does it mean, fill you with the Holy Ghost? Like, what I just say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost, and boom, there it is. You know what I'm saying? You got millions of people listening right now. I want you to elaborate a little bit more. What does that mean? What steps can they take? Do they start praying? Do they go to church? Like, what happens for that step one to occur? You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Well, let me tell you how I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's basically when you really get down to the point where you say, God, I need you to come in and perform a miracle on my life. So how I got it, I went to a convention at Cleflo Dollar Ministries in Tampa, Florida. Was down, busted, and disgusted. And Pastor Dollar called the altar call that night, and I ran up there, fell out in the Holy Spirit. And then I went to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a room. So basically what she did, she told me to just raise both of my hands and start saying hallelujah. And I tell you, Benny, that first hallelujah was the fire. I felt it in my head, and it went on down to my feet. And you'll know, well, the manifestation of the Holy Ghost when I knew I was born again is I started speaking in tongues, and that's what the Bible tells you. And I live 20 miles from Tampa, Florida, across the Gandy Bridge, and I spoke in tongues all the way home that night. And Dr. Dollar had told us in 3 days, God will work a miracle, and he did. He worked that miracle in my life within 3 days. So the first thing to do is just ask him. You know, just raise your hands. Hallelujah.
How does one, do their belief factor has to come into play here, Linda? I'm just trying to make it a little bit more layman terms for those who may not have a little knowledge or whatever. Does your belief factor play in? And just, you know, I understand the words you say, but does your belief factor have to come into play here for this to actually work?
Yes, yes. You've got to have a intimate, personal relationship with God. Mm-hmm. You got to have it. You've got to know what his words say, and you've got to stand on that word.
Okay, and what is step number 2, Linda?
I'm sorry?
What is step number 2? I remember I asked you for 2 earlier, and you only on 1. You elaborated so much, you forgot to go to number 2.
Okay. So number 2 is once you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have to ask God to show you what is your purpose on this world, in this world. What did he put you here to do? And then you got to step out and do it. Because a lot of people take their gifts to the grave, Benny. I remember I met Miles Monroe. He said the graveyard is the richest place on this earth because a lot of people don't never fulfill the purpose that God put them on the earth to do. So that's your second step. You've got to establish that intimate relationship with him, mm-hmm. and let him reveal to you what your purpose is and get up and do it.
Mm, very, very powerful. Now, you said something that struck me. You said a lot of people don't fulfill their purpose. Can you explain to my listeners how does one, first of all, know their purpose? And number two, how do they fulfill it?
Knowing your purpose is God put gifts in each of us when we were born on this earth. So knowing your purpose on what you're here to do is he'll give you the passion. He'll give you a feeling of passion. And you'll do something that you don't even want to get paid to do. Okay?
Mm-hmm. You mean like something you just enjoy doing, whether you got paid or not. Gotcha.
Right. So that's your passion. So once you find out what that is, that will be your gift. And that will be what he placed you here to do.
And what are the steps once people find out what their passion is? What do they do to get started?
Okay, they've got to find somebody that's doing what God has placed them here to do that's positive and hook up with them. And that's it. That'll be the end of it. It'll be all you wrote. Go ahead and fly.
Mm. Yeah, I'll tell you, boy, Linda makes it seem so easy. If y'all can't win, I don't know what you're going to do. It's all good. It is all good. So, Linda, tell me a little bit about your purpose here. You spoke of talking and having a prison ministry. Tell me a little bit about that, and how did you come to going to speak in the prisons? And are you speaking to the men, or are you speaking to the women, or are you speaking to both?
Both. What happened, my cousin was charged with first-degree murder. We had a prosecutor that was a real live Perry Mason. This guy never lost a case. As a matter of fact, go to Time Magazine. He appeared on Time Magazine as the deadliest prosecutor in the nation. This man put more people on death row than anybody in this world. So once my cousin was charged with first-degree murder, and a lot of people don't know, prosecutors really they just take one element of a crime. When you commit a crime, there's elements of the crime that the prosecutor has to present to the jury in order to get a conviction. Well, since we as African Americans don't know the law, a prosecutor can go in, do one element of a crime, and send you to death row. Okay? And so this is what this guy was doing. So I got interested in the law because I'm like, I can beat him. He's not a real live Perry Mason. He can be beat.
Look at you, girl. You just getting in all of these rings and swinging. You go ahead, Muhammad Ali.
I'm telling you. Like, he can be beat. So, you know, I went and I got my associate degree in criminal justice. And I said, okay, you know, by me being isolated, Benny, you know, I wasn't aware that it was so many cold people out here in the world. And I wasn't aware that there were people that didn't have a conscience.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so if I'm going to be a lawyer and I'm going to be a pro bono lawyer, I'm going to keep these people from going to prison, okay? So I need to prepare myself to understand their mindset, because it's definitely not going to be the same mindset as I have. So I went ahead and got my bachelor's of science from St. Andrews in psychology. So by the time I had done all that, he decided he wanted to be a judge. So, of course, I lost my passion about becoming an attorney. But looking at our criminal justice system, we got to make a change with that. I don't know how many of the listeners have looked at, you know, the Central Park Five. Ava just did a mini series on Netflix about the Central Part 5.
Yes, it was excellent.
But
excellent.
I'm sitting here saying, okay, it was way before the Central Part 5. Because I remember growing up in the Deep South here in North Carolina, the Klansmen coming, burning a cross in my grandfather's friend's yard. And I remember black men getting lynched in our town because they looked at a Caucasian woman. So I'm sitting here trying to figure out, why is this case getting so much publicity when all of these other cases, we have so many people incarcerated for crimes they were forced to confess to. And so my mom would always tell us, look,
you mean
people, it's easy to get in trouble, but it's hard to get up out of it.
Oh,
and
you
it
ain't
is.
Never lied on that one. You ain't it never is. Lied on that
I mean, you got people
one.
On death row. You got people pulling life sentences because they were afraid. Now, think about fear, Benny, and I tell everybody, I have no fear. I don't think God put any in me from the womb.
Well, you know the Bible does say, I'm not a scripture expert, but the Bible, I know I read it somewhere where it says, the Bible say you were not given the spirit of fear. None
right.
of us were given the spirit of fear. It's that we learn it.
Well, yeah, fear is a learned behavior, but it's just weird how it's people just, it's, you know, well, I know the Satan is the god of this world, so that's his job, is to instill fear in you. So that's just a demonic attack from him. But once you get in there, they force you, you know, they say stuff to you. And, you know, these are kids. These are kids. And they don't know the law. So they get in there, they instill the fear. They put their name on a paper and off you to prison for the rest of your life.
Mm.
And then you get up in there and then try to get back out, and it's not that easy.
No, because they make too much money with you being inside. Remember, they get paid. Prisons are, a lot of prisons are private, so they get paid for everybody that's in there. So they need to keep your body in there as long as possible in order to get paid.
Yeah, I think it's a legalized form of slavery, you ask me, because they, like you said, they get paid for each body they get in there,
right.
And then they're working these people for a dollar a day.
No, you get a dollar, that's too much. Let's try 25 cents.
That's true. I mean, that's the max.
Yeah.
And then with all the other negative stuff going on in there, I mean, they are really, really creating monsters if you don't connect with a church that can tell you about Jesus, okay?
It becomes your hell on earth is what it becomes.
Yes, it is a hell on earth. You best believe it. Mm. I mean, I have gone into prisons and, oh my God, just the negativism coming in, I just have to constantly be up in prayer because I never really was around a lot of murderers, but when
I would hope not.
Yeah, right.
I hope your homies or friends wasn't murderers, but go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but when I go into prisons, you know, you got the rapists in there, you got the murderers in there, and that feeling is not good. But I thank God for allowing me to be a light in a dark place.
Very, very powerful. Let me tell you something, Linda. This has been an extraordinary. We're definitely going to have to do a part two. Your time goes so fast when you're having fun.
I know, doesn't it?
I feel. Linda, and I want you to take this with love, as they say in the church. But I feel like you talk so much, just like me. I felt like I only asked one question, and you just talked the whole time. But that was wonderful. That's when you know it's good.
I'm sorry.
That's when you know it's good, Linda. That's when you know it's good, and I appreciate you. I appreciate you. So before we get out of here, Linda, tell people if they want to reach out to you, find out more about you, listen to your radio show, how can they do that?
Okay. So if the Linda Monroe Show airs every Sunday on www.bashaniradio.com/ Linda with the Y, LYNDA, Monroe, MONROE. I'm on Facebook as well as Linda Monroe. And that's how you can contact me. You can also reach me at 984-260-2128. I tell you, when you get to having me talk about the Lord, honey, I tell you, I can't stop. I can't stop.
I hear that. I hear that. I'm not sure if you should have gave your phone number out on the air, but all right, no cry. We can beep that out or something, because you may have too many people calling you. You just running up your number. People, strange people start calling you. All right,
okay.
Linda. I appreciate you being on Bashani Radio and Bashani Magazine and the Benny Randall Show. You know, it was such a pleasure. And we're going to have to come back because, honestly, we got to ask you more than one question. Because you was going
It'll
off.
It'll be an honor and a blessing.
You got into this. You were not playing. You was like, let me tell you about this, Brother Benny. I was like, I felt like I was in church for a minute, to be honest.
All right, now, that's the key.
I was heading right up to the altar to get my offering. Just that simple.
I know that's right.
Better praise somebody. Linda, before we get out of here, your final thoughts for our listeners.
Okay, my final thoughts is, like I told you, those two nuggets. Get born again and get on your purpose that God has placed you here to do. Do not take it to the grave.
She said, get born again and get on your purpose, ladies and gentlemen. That is Linda Monroe. I hope that you learned something today. We try to bring you entrepreneurs and leaders and teachers that can pour into you. And as you see, Miss Linda Monroe poured into you a lot today. And I hope you walk away with something here. If you're going through something, remember what Linda had. She had incredible faith. Incredible belief that it's gonna be okay. And 65 years later, guess what? She's still rocking and rolling here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your
Amen.
Host.
Amen. All is well.
You better ask somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Linda, for being here. I appreciate you, okay?
All right. Have a blessed day.
You have a blessed day. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, a.k.a. The Sexiest Voice in America, a.k.a. You Know How We Do. I love you, and you can't do a damn thing about it.
Love you too, Benny. You have been a blessing coming into my life. Thank you.
Amen. Goodbye, ladies and gentlemen. I love you. You can't do a damn thing about it. Good night.